Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Mr. Sibanda.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Zama. How are you?
Very well, thank you, sir. How are you doing?
I am very well. I'm very blessed, and thanks to you. How are you doing?
Lovely, man. I'm doing okay. Thank you for asking. It's been a good day. We're going towards the end of the day to get some rest. Thank you so much for asking. Now, we're going to be talking about employee privacy rights in South Africa. And in today's connected and highly digital workplace, the boundary between employee privacy rights and employer oversight is becoming increasingly blurred. Now, employers need to protect operations, secure data, ensure productivity, while employees expect a reasonable degree of personal privacy. Now, the challenge is striking a balance between that respects the law and fosters trust. Now, how does South Africa's POPIA apply to the employee life cycle from recruitment to offboarding?
Great question, Zama. Now, the protection of personal information applies comprehensively to the employee's life cycle in the workplace. Mm-hmm. Now, you will remember that the POPIA Act governs the processing of personal information, mm-hmm. and process personal information. What we do is we define personal information as any information relating to an identifiable individual. Mm. And this would obviously include sensitive information, mm-hmm. or special personal information such as medical records, union membership, and criminal history. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, the lawful processing of personal information requires that there must be collection of specific or explicit. It must be collected for a specific or an explicit or lawful purpose. Mm-hmm. And when collecting that information, it may be collected directly from the employee or a candidate for a particular job. But there would be some exceptions. Mm-hmm. You must also notify the employee or the candidate, mm-hmm. that you are collecting such data and the purpose for which that data is being collected. Mm-hmm. There is obviously a period as well within which that data can be retained. It cannot be retained for protracted amounts of time. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a thing, for instance, if an employee leaves your employ, you may retain the data for a certain period of time. Mm-hmm. After that, you must destroy that particular information, and there must be a secure process in terms of the destruction of that particular information, so that information does not get into the hands of third parties. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is personal information? I mean, under the POPIA, you know, some examples of an employee's personal information that would need protection. What would that entail exactly?
The definition of personal information is quite broad. I mean, it would cover any information relating to the identifiable individual. There are examples, obviously, contact details of an individual, the identity number of that individual, the employment, educational history, any opinions that they may have shared, preferences, health records, financial details, for instance, bank statements, or records of, criminal records, their involvement in the union or non-involvement in the union. It's typically quite quite broad, especially in the employment setup.
Now, is it permissible to keep job applicants' CV on file indefinitely? I do understand that you did mention some kind of a period there, based on the POPIA principles.
Employers are not permitted to keep job applicants' CVs indefinitely. After the recruitment process has been done, the requirement or the lawful requirement for the retention of those CVs ceases, there is an obligation on the employer to destroy those particular CVs.
And if they are then found to still be in possession of those CVs, surely that's a contravention of the law.
And that is definitely a violation of the POPIA Act. And obviously, when there is a violation of the POPIA Act, there would be consequences in relation to the violation of that particular act.
Now, if the company wants to implement CCTV monitoring in the workplace, what steps should be taken to ensure that it is compliant with the POPIA?
Right. In order to install, for instance, CCTV footage, there must be clear signage that must be placed to be visible for the employees, and the policies must be updated. The policies must be updated in such a manner, obviously, that it encapsulates the fact that there are now going to be CCTV footages that will be taken of that. Because remember, CCTV collects identifiable individual images. And obviously that is processing of personal information.
Yeah.
And therefore, the policies of the workplace must be updated to reflect the use, the purpose, and the data retention period of those particular recordings.
What would you say then is the penalty for a serious breach of POPIA, and what can be done to mitigate the risk of such penalties?
Right. The penalties for serious POPIA breaches, the penalty, serious POPIA violation, it may include administrative fines, which may be up to about 10 million.
Wow.
Or
goodness.
One may be imprisoned for a period of about 10 years for that responsible individual. Obviously, it means that employers must mitigate the risk by appointing a registered information officer or instituting staff training, maintaining full information inventory, and continuously auditing for compliance and rigorous document management to ensure that the governance policies and procedures are always in place.
Man, but you know, Cindy, so there's quite a lot to actually consider. I mean, I really didn't think that but there's so much detail that could come out of this. Now, what would you say as we wrap up this afternoon in terms of POPIA? Should be considerations for employers? Because I do know that employers have got a responsibility to secure their place on CCTVs and all of that. But inadvertently, there may be some, mistakes, errors here and there. And of course, you talked about hefty fines as you were talking. What should happen so that everybody is happy in the process, in closing, in your view?
The general recommendations obviously are that employers must do careful audits of all points of the employee's life cycle in the employment environment. Mm-hmm. Where personal information is collected, processed, or retained, they must ensure that there's a specific lawful purpose and prescribe a minimal retention period of that particular personal information that is collected. Mm-hmm. They must also implement privacy notices, which are robust, and data protection policies that are updated on a continuous basis, which would include activities, obviously, such as the installation of CCTV cameras, biometric systems for clocking in and out. Mm-hmm. They must appoint, I think I did touch on this a little bit earlier, that they must appoint a registered information officer who is responsible for all aspects of compliance in relation to POPI. Mm-hmm. They must also obtain informed and explicit consent from candidates when they intend to retain their personal information, which would include the CVs, ID documents, and so on and so forth, especially when there's a potential that there would be future roles that may come up, and you have identified a particular candidate who's not been successful for this particular interview, but you're saying, you know what, there might be a future role that can come up, and therefore we need to keep this particular CV so that we may consider this particular person for the role that will come up in future. They must also ensure that there is secure storage of all personal data, and training of staff is very important, because the more the staff are trained, the more they are attentive to exactly what it is that is referred to as personal information, what to guard against, and so on and so forth.
Mm. Now, I got a question here that's coming on the line regarding the recording. Is recording of telephone calls between employer and employee acceptable in as far as POPI is concerned?
Where there are recordings, for instance, of particular conversation, sometimes employers do record for training purposes and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. That must be encapsulated in the policies of the employer. Mm-hmm. In other words, the employee must be aware that the telephone calls that they make or that they receive within the work environment are recorded. Mm-hmm. And the reason for the recording of those particular telephone calls.
Must they give consent to that, or they just need to be informed that they must just swallow that?
There's an issue, obviously, in terms of power of negotiation. When you're looking for a job and you're informed that the calls that you make are recorded and things like that, it's a very slippery slope trying to negotiate out of that. Ideally, because of the power of negotiation, it becomes difficult for the employee to say that, oh no, I don't want my my calls to be recorded, because basically what they're going to say, this is across the board, everybody's calls are recorded, and you cannot be treated differently. And obviously that would jeopardize, for instance, the employer-employee relationship.
Yeah, Yeah, man, quite a mind there to talk about. Man, Cindy, so I must thank you so much for your time and coming through and making time to talk to us. A blessed and a fantastic afternoon further to you.
Thank you so much, Sama. I must say that this call was very, very clear today. I'm not too sure what changes you've made, but it was very clear.
Thank you so much for the feedback. Thank you so much for the feedback. Blessings to you and have a great afternoon.
Blessings to you, Sama. Thank you so much.
Lovely. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.